If you would turn to Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Also, there are little cards over here on the piano. If you want to invite someone to our services, so this little card tells what we're all about, and it's a good welcome to someone you might want to invite. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Now, we this morning are on the eighth commandment. And the commandment reads, "You shall not steal." Now, a lot of these commandments I have been reading and doing a lot of reading in relationship to them. This is one in which about 80% of born-again Christians will say, "Well, this one's not for me. I don't steal." Okay? Hang on with me for a while. Okay? That is a very, very clear commandment, isn't it? And it's one of God's laws for living. When we started this series, we said, you know, God gave these Ten Commandments in summary form, not only to the people of Israel, but to mankind, how to live in a atmosphere of blessing blessing from the Lord in their life. When we break these commandments, it can really hinder not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with others, and it's not good. The Lord said to the people of Israel, "If you'll keep my commandments, things will go well with you. But if you break my commandments, there will be some things that will be very difficult for you. In fact, as a nation, if you continue to worship other gods and not worship me, I'll scatter you among the nations." That was a promise from the Lord. This is one of the ten. Number eight, you shall not steal. You know, I think in our country we have gotten to the place where we have forgotten what honesty is really all about in our society. The point is, anytime we take something that belongs to someone else without that person's permission, we break the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. And stealing, as you see, as you go through Scripture, it's amazing. People think in terms of merely the stealing of a possession. But we're going to see that much more is involved in this. In fact, there can be the stealing of time, possessions, money, affection, courtesy, appreciation, love. In fact, there are a number of intangibles that can be stolen, and we'll see this as we look at this commandment this morning. When we think of synonyms for stealing, we usually think of things like extortion, burglarizing, defrauding, to cheat, to rob, to swindle, to embezzle. However, stealing can involve a great number of things, and we'll talk about this in just a moment. But I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, because this verse is actually an amplification of that Old Testament command, "You shall not steal." Ephesians 4:28, the Lord says through the apostle, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." Now, it's interesting, as we looked at this amplification, we find that there are three things in there which we should do, and certainly which we should teach our children. Okay? The first one is, we should teach them integrity. Let him who stole steal no more. We don't want things stolen from us, and we know that when something's stolen from us, we know how much it bothers us, sometimes even if it's something little. Well, there's a reason for that, because God said he did not want to see people in the human family stealing from others. So the first thing that we need to teach our children, of course, is integrity. The second thing is, and I like these terms, and I got them from another pastor, is the word industry. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And the third word coming out of this text of Scripture is generosity, that he may have to give to him who has a need. Now, stealing, again, can be defined as taking without permission something that does not belong to you. And as you look at Scripture, you're going to find that stealing has many modes actually defined in the Word of God. There are many ways to steal. First of all, and a lot of people don't think of this one first of all, is the stealing of people. And that's called kidnapping. Now, down through the years, there's been some very famous cases of kidnapping. It's very interesting that God says that kidnapping is out. It's not what he wants to see in the human family. Deuteronomy 24:7, the Lord said, if someone is caught kidnapping a fellow Israelite and treating or selling them as a slave, the kidnapper must die. So there's capital punishment for kidnapping. Very interesting. And probably the clearest example in Scripture of kidnapping, you may not go to this one first, but it's the story of Joseph, who back in the book of Genesis chapter 37, you have the account where his brothers kidnapped him and sold him to the Midianites, who in turn took him down into the land of Egypt. Now, we know God was in ultimate control of all this, but Joseph wrote and said a number of years later, he said in Genesis chapter 40, verse 15, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and that he was. So again, even in our society today, kidnapping is a kind of theft that has very severe punishment attached to it. Secondly, we can steal, of course, physical possessions of others, including money. This category includes all kinds of theft, burglary, robbery, shoplifting, white-collar crime, which you use the terms fraud and extortion, embezzlement, and racketeering. I come from the Northeast, and I don't know about different sections of the country, and I realize this is going to be a huge generalization, but there's a lot of racketeering that goes on up in my part of the country. And we used to discuss it when we were kids, these various kinds of crime that were going on in our own neighborhood. Shoplifting. Wow. According to the National Association of Shoplifting Prevention, an actual organization, they said, and I quote, there are approximately, where do you hear this number? 27 million shoplifters in our country today. That's a lot of people, isn't it? More, they said, more than 10 million people have been caught shoplifting in the past 5 years. And, of course, people steal from the government. They underpay their income taxes, or they make false claims with regards to disability. And then, of course, there's what is called theft at work. I remember working for a used car dealer, and we used to have a system. We had an old refrigerator, and we had Cokes in there. And when we had get our Cokes, we threw in our quarter, whatever it cost back then. We took our Coke out. This is not funny. I'm smiling because it was sad. But we had a guy who came and started working. He would go and take a Coke out, and he'd take some change out at the same time. And John knew it wasn't me, thank the Lord. And I do. I thank the Lord that I wasn't stealing. And he knew it was the other two guys who, born again, know the Lord as their Savior. But he was stealing. He was stealing from his employer. Theft at work. Employees often help themselves to office supplies, postage stamps, and even long-distance calls. And some people even pad their expense accounts. You see that the subject of stealing is growing, isn't it? It's not just a little small subject. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, employee theft costs businesses, wait to hear this one, $50 billion annually. That's B, not M. Employee theft. The same report estimates that 75% of all employees steal at least once. It's not good. One out of three business failures are due to the result of employee theft. The internet provides new ways to steal information. Students steal term papers. Businesses steal information and logos. And then someone said this, I read this week. Someone said, quote, almost everyone steals music. Now, I didn't know that. And I'm not going to steal any music. I like the music I have, okay? But it is stolen, isn't it? It is. Half-hearted working is stealing. I told you the subject's going to get bigger. It's not a little tiny subject. Colossians 3:22. Bond servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servant as men's pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. God cares about the way we work and the work that we put in for those who have employed us. He cares. He also cares, and I was talking to someone about this morning who did not know we were going to talk about thou shalt not steal. He also talks about employers paying an employee the proper wage that they should receive. Masters, Colossians 4:1, give your bondservants what is fair and just, knowing also that you have a master in heaven. In fact, in James chapter 5, the Apostle James says that the wages of laborers, listen to this, the wages of laborers, there were employers who kept back by fraud. They weren't paying those who worked for them. And the Apostle James says their need was crying out to God. Remember I said God's concerned about how we work and our attitude towards our work and how we're paid and what we do? Thirdly, we can also steal intangibles. I told you, remember, this isn't a little tiny subject. Didn't I say that? Okay. Intangibles. Jacob stole his brother's birthright and blessing. He tricked his father into believing that he was his brother, and he stole the birthright blessing. Also, it's possible for someone to steal someone else's good name or reputation. I read, not connected with this message, I read that Tony Evans was saying in the Names of God book that we're studying, somebody stole his name and was asking for donations for something, for a ministry in Africa, and it wasn't Tony Evans, but they were using his name. And as using it, they were implying that it was the Tony Evans that we know. This kind of theft was seen in the life of David Livingston, that 19th century explorer and missionary, David Livingston. In the early days of his exploring Africa, Livingston left his wife back in England. He wanted to go to Africa and get set up and keep her for some hardships in the early days in which he was in Africa. But back in England, because his wife didn't go with him to Africa, people began to gossip and say, well, there's problems between David Livingston and his wife. And it got so bad that Livingston dropped what he was doing and sent for his wife. Historians say prematurely to go to Africa. And after she got there, in light of all that gossip in England, she very soon became sick and died, which might not have happened if he had properly prepared. Withholding love and devotion to those to whom it is due, is also stealing. Now we're going deep. 1 Corinthians 7:3-5. We won't look at the text. Husband and wives are not to defraud one another in the matter of sexual love. The body of the wife belongs to the husband. The body of the husband belongs to the wife. And they sure are to enjoy sexual relations one with another, unless it's by consent that they agree for right now together they agree, we're not going to have those relations. Withholding love and devotion to those that is due is also stealing. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything except to love one another. Do you know that the Bible says that we owe love to our neighbors? You see, now you say, boy, he's laying it on this morning. I mean, he's really laying it on this morning. Listen, I have to handle these things too. Do I get to know my neighbors as I should? Did I greet them as I should? I should greet them, shouldn't I? I should know who they are. I have a responsibility. Now you say, boy, he's really laying it on. This is something to think about. This is something to realize. God says we are to love one another. No man anything except to love one another. Listen to the end of that verse, Romans 13:8. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You see? If you care for your neighbor, if you greet your neighbor as you should, if you care for others in your family and in your relationships as you should, you are fulfilling the law of God. I mean, that's what the Lord said in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Quickly. I told you this was a tough subject, and it's tough. It really is. The worst theft of all, of course, is stealing from God. And you say, whoa, here he goes now, stealing from God. Well, what do we mean by stealing from God? Doesn't God deserve our love and devotion? I'm going to repeat this. The fact that you're here this morning and you've come to worship God, I mean, this is commendable. Okay, don't miss that. There are a lot of people who are not worshiping God today. Some who even claim a relationship with the Lord. And you say, what are you saying, Pastor? Am I saying that they're stealing from God? Let me just say it carefully. I won't go out too far on the limb because you may have a saw. You should be laughing at that. God does deserve our love and devotion. We celebrated the Lord's Supper together. He laid down His life for us. So we, in turn, ought to give back to Him our lives and our love and our devotion. That's what I'm saying there, being careful not to steal from God. And another way it's possible to steal from God, of course, is in our giving. And I thank the Lord that my parents taught me to give when I was a child. As I mentioned before, they put our money on the dining room table. Some was for us and some was to give to the Lord. And we were responsible for the whole thing. They didn't put it in our pockets. They said, when you go to Sunday school and church, here's something that you can give to the Lord. Well, in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord's speaking and says, will a man rob God? And He says to that generation of the people of Israel, you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? And then God responds by saying, in tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And obviously the storehouse food was given not only to supply for those who serve the Lord, but also to supply for those who are needy in the Israelite community. It's pretty important, isn't it? And I thank the Lord that I was taught at a very early age, and moms and dads, when you teach your children to give to the Lord, you cannot measure how much you are teaching them as they grow older not to lose out on the blessings of life because they learn to give part of what they have to the Lord. And you see, part of what we give to the Lord, the offering that you gave this morning, is a testimony. In actuality, we're saying, it all belongs to you, Lord. I'm just going to give you back a portion of what you have given me. And God blesses us for doing that. And by the way, here I go back out on the limb. I didn't see too many souls this morning. I'm going back out on the limb. There are many times believers who miss out on blessing because they fail to give, no matter how small the amount might be, to the Lord. Remember the testimony of the widow's mite in Scripture? She put in her last two mites, And Jesus saw it, and he said to the disciples, look at this. She put in more than the rest of these because she gave out of her poverty. And it's hard for people to give out of their poverty. I've talked to people. They say, I'm still going to give to the Lord. We had a lady in Nebraska who was poor, and I mean really poor. Her main light in her living room was a cord coming down with a light bulb on it. But she gave faithfully to the Lord. She just loved the Lord. And there was a lot of things that she just didn't have. But she gave faithfully. I don't know how much. I never know how much people give to the Lord. But I do know that May Hubbard said, I love the Lord and He has blessed my life, and I will, till the day I die, faithfully give to Him. There's a verse I want you to look at. A lot of people miss this verse. I did have it marked in my Bible when I found it again. Jeremiah 5:25. This ties in with Thou shalt not steal, by the way. I found this verse this week. Jeremiah 5:25. Watch this. And this is good to teach our children as well. We need to teach our children when we're faithful to the Lord and do His will and we don't steal, God blesses us. But if we take from others what we shouldn't take, we miss out on blessing. Jeremiah 5:25, I haven't looked at this verse for a long time. The Lord says to the people of Israel, your iniquities have turned these things away. What are the things He's talking about? He was talking about the rain and the harvest and the blessing upon the nation. And your sins have withheld good from you. Whoa! Remember I said just the opposite a little while ago? I said when we give to the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord blesses us. But if we sin and we don't give to the Lord what we should give to the Lord, it's amazing the blessings that are withheld. Quickly, very quickly. First of all, we teach integrity to our children. We let them know we do not steal. We give to God. We realize that word stealing covers a lot of things, even intangibles in our lives. We want to give. We want to be givers. Secondly, we teach our children integrity. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And you and I know, we who are here this morning, we know that work is good. It's a gift of God. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing when you can go to your job and knowing that it's hard and it's difficult, but I'm going to do it for the Lord. And my ability to work has been given to me by God. It's a gift from God. And we won't look at all those passages, but there are a number of passages, pardon me, that tell us that working is a gift from God. In fact, God commands people to work. Now, I realize you have categories of people who can't work, categories of people for many reasons. I realize all that. But when someone has the physical ability to work, God wants us to work. Okay? The Lord said, 6 days shall you labor, and the seventh is the day of rest. In fact, the Jewish rabbis, I found this week as well, the Jewish rabbis had a saying, and here it is, listen to this. He who does not teach his son a trade teaches him to steal. That's heavy duty, isn't it? He who does not teach his son a trade teaches him to steal. In other words, it allows him to get an attitude of even taking from others rather than giving. I thank the Lord, and I did this before, okay? I'm going to do it again, okay? How many of you would say, my parents taught me to work, to enjoy work, and to realize that work supplies your needs? Hands up. This is awesome. I mean, this really is awesome. I would say almost 100% of you raised your hands this morning. I know my parents encouraged me to work and to enjoy work. Very important. Thirdly, by the way, children need to be taught to work. I'm not going to go into a lot of details on this. Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And children can be taught to help with things, take the trash out, do some sweeping, do some kind of cleaning. And it's good for them. They need it. They really do. Thirdly, quickly, very quickly, we should teach children generosity. Remember Ephesians 4:28, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to those who have need. So in other words, when we work, we have the ability to supply for our needs, but in turn, it's amazing how God brings people along our pathway that we can help. They have needs as well. And children need to be taught to give. They need to be taught to look for opportunities to give to others, and they can help. It's wonderful to see children pick up things up and to do things, having been taught by their parents to do these things. Lastly, there are three helpful attitudes in relationship to keeping that commandment. I'm going to give you these three attitudes very, very quickly. The first one is hate greed. And be careful of the wanting and the wanting and the wanting of things. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Hate greed. Watch this now. Love giving. Jesus said, Acts 2, I think it's the wrong reference I got written down there. I think it's probably 12:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I remember the first time I heard that. It's more blessed to give than receive. I said, whose perspective is that? I like to get gifts, and we do. But really, there's something about it. God put it within us as his people, as we have a relationship with him. He put it within you, within me. That ability to give to somebody else, there's something about it. It builds you up. It keeps you edified. It keeps you realizing that you have a relationship to God and you have a relationship to others in the family of God, even in the human family. Hate greed, love giving, and the last one is trust God. And you've heard this before. Sometimes people, when they steal, they feel it's the only way they can have to get what they need. But you and I know the reference in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, which says, my God shall supply some of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. What'd I say? My God shall supply. Oh, boy. And he has for us, hasn't he? Hasn't God supplied for us? I mean, over and over and over again. He is so good to us. You know, we'll drive home in cars. Most of our cars are air-conditioned. Our homes are air-conditioned. We have food on our table. God just continues to supply for us. And, Lord, we are so thankful for this. Let's close in prayer.